Are you ready to get started?
Let's do it.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 593. Yo soy Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my stalwart, steady, and effervescent co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Je m'appelle Nicole.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at KOOP.org. We are homegrown and pre-recorded. Stick with us.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world.
Yes, I look perfect.
It is Wednesday, December 2nd. December already? 2020. On the show today, we have the Hill Country Theater and their show, Christmas on Main Street. And later on, we'll be hearing directly from Vanessa Williams as she confesses all to Nicole and me on the radio. All that with news and views of the world of theater, in New York, in Austin, in London, in Chicago, and online. We will be right back after this song.
Till someone gets
Mean Girls, Mean Girls, Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
You've seen it and you liked it.
I loved it. I loved it
you
a lot.
Loved
I,
it.
Got to go, I actually got to go backstage and their set and the way they set up and use the LED screen for the whole backdrop was really fascinating.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that, and I'm of mixed emotions about it, but there it is.
They did it well. I've been mixed emotions, and the way, because there's so many other props and pieces that come in, and the way that their screen is done and really made a difference.
I guess it depends how it's used. To me, it's the lazy man's way of doing theater in a lot of ways, because it's easier than changing scenery, but it depends how it's used. If it's used artistically and theatrically, love it.
Well, it's used a lot because social media plays a big part of it. So when using the social media part of the screen, it really is great. And then they can create the school room because they have all the school lunch tables. They have all the things you would have in the lunchroom.
Is it set in... So, obviously, when the movie came out, social media wasn't what it is right now. So, did they update it for current time?
Yes.
I did not know that.
They did. They post and they have the tweets and that, and they show... Because they do the video of them doing the Christmas number, they broadcast that again. Like, yeah, they did. They put the social in it. You're right.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And speaking of that, I'm assuming you know why we played that.
Because it was performed at the parade broadcast on one Thanksgiving Thursday.
It was. And I want to talk about that in just a second. But that song was called Someone Gets Hurt.
One of Regina George's songs.
It's one of Regina George's songs. And it's they also have a reprise. Now, I say reprise. Some people say reprise. What do you say?
So I say reprise, and then occasionally I catch myself saying reprise. So I guess I would say I use both.
Oh, okay.
I guess it's like being ambidextrous. What's that when you use both, like tomato, tomato, when you say both sayings?
I don't know. Schizophrenic?
I could be a little of that too.
So let's talk about the parade. And we're going to play several of the songs that were in the parade. So the parade had Hamilton, which was shot in front of their theater. And then the other two were shot in front of a different theater. And I couldn't remember which one. The Lyric, I think, maybe. I don't remember.
I think so.
But it was Mean Girls. It was
Ain't Too Proud.
Ain't Too Proud, and it was Jagged Little Pill. What did you think in general of all four of those?
I want to know why they don't do it like that every year. They, first of all actually sing.
I'm not 100% sure. Well, not Hamilton, but wait. Hamilton didn't have microphones. I looked. I didn't see a microphone on anybody. Everybody else had microphones at the very least.
And you could actually I could vocally hear it at times.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And you could tell they were actually singing from the movement. And I was like, why aren't you doing it like this every year? This was
agreed.
So much better. There was a lot of things they did in that parade that I wish they would continue to do. And there were a lot of things to me that fell flat.
Well, I think that when you have the normal parade, you would have these, all the performers are in the lineup, so you really couldn't do that because this parade was made, and they said it was made for TV,
which is fine. But they could pre-record the Broadway and still have them walk in the parade and not stop.
That's true.
And perform all like that and cut in and do the thing that they did because.
But what would that
be?
There
were live portions of the parade.
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah. I know there was. But it was like only a block long. So they didn't walk the whole route. So let's play out your theory here for a second. So here we are in Nicole and Lisa, the musical, right? we've won the Tony. So we're in the parade. And so we line up. Wherever we line up, usually towards the front because they're always front loaded. Mm-hmm. And we blah, blah, blah. We get to in front of Herald Square, Macy's. Then they cut to us doing it somewhere else. And then what does the live audience see?
The live audience can watch it on the screen, but that gives us the chance, the cast, to go talk to the live audience while the performance for the people at home are there and saying,
okay.
Thank you for supporting us.
I have to say, I've always been frustrated because when I go there and I do the parade, I've never been able to talk to the audience.
So they see?
Anyway, so I did not like, I was underwhelmed with the performances, and it seems like I say this every year, and I don't know Mean Girls well enough, but to me the song that they chose wasn't a good one. It wasn't a parade-y kind of song.
It wasn't a parade-y song. The Mean Girls choice was odd, but I will tell you why I thought it was chosen is because that young girl, Renee Rapp, right? Is that her name?
No.
The young girl that's now in there playing it is new girl. Isn't she one of the ones from the Jimmies? I think she's one of the...
I don't know, but that's something we should look up. That's a...
Yeah. But I believe they were
trying...
She's the new... Because the whole cast has changed. She's the new one that they're selling, and I think they just wanted to give her the moment. And I didn't...
But certainly Regina George has another number.
They're all big numbers.
Oh, okay.
The song that they performed at the Tonys and performed before with everyone, and she sings the part with I'm Regina George, I'm a big deal. That's kind of a big, it's Welcome, Meet the Plastics, but it's all of them.
I also thought that that Jagged Little Pill, You Learn, was an odd choice as well. First of all, they've done it before. I've seen that rendition done elsewhere.
I know why they chose it, because it had the whole cast and they could bring everybody back.
Yeah,
I was like,
I know, but
jobs and doing, and it's this song everybody knows. Listen, I don't have any desire to see Jagged Little Pill, but I was so excited to see Sherry Renee Scott. I was so excited to see people putting a hand on his shoulder and having human contact that I had tears in my eyes. I didn't care. I was like, this is so great. And I don't like Jagged Little Pill. I love Sherry Renee Scott.
You don't like the album Jagged Little Pill, or you don't like the idea of this show?
I'm not a Alanis Morissette fan. Oh,
okay.
I find way too angry. I don't need to listen to more angry music. I'm already an angry woman.
And then Ain't Too Proud played both My Girl and Get Ready.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, it was nice. I love that. So it's the second time in, what else did I see? I was watching some other show that was of an era, of that same era. And the microphones that I believe they were props because they also had the headsets, but it was a style of wireless microphone that I just saw in some other, I've been watching a lot of musicals on TV and on Broadway HD. And I just thought it was an interesting microphone. Clearly when the, in real time, they didn't have wireless microphones at that point. But this is made to look like a wired microphone, but it's got no wire.
That's what yes. I was noticing that too, because yes, they did not have the wireless mic. That's funny. I've watched a lot of old movies lately too.
Thanksgiving Day Parade in the books. What else are your thoughts on the Thanksgiving Day Parade in general?
Okay. One thing that creeped me out during the parade was the preview for Matthew Morrison as the Grinch live.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And the makeup, Casey was, my brother was like, what? I hope they have a week to change that makeup, and I hope they do. And it was slammed on social. It is scary. And they did the Whoville number, which was great, but his Grinch,
he is so not who I would choose for the Grinch.
Yeah. But I couldn't get past the costume and makeup to even take in what he was trying to do.
Well, bless their little heart.
Yes. So the Rockettes were there, but they didn't kick. They didn't do their famous line kick, but then they now have their own special after the Tina Fey special. So maybe they're saving the line kick for that. But then they did my favorite number, the toy soldier number that Vincent Minnelli did the costumes on. But they didn't do the full number. They didn't do the whole falling down.
Well, that's maybe too intimately close with one another.
They're toy soldiers like this line by line and making formations and pinwheels. I don't know how much closer you're getting. I don't know. They did have masks, and the little rosy cheeks that are painted on the cheeks were on the navy blue mask that matched the outfit. But they do now have a special after the Tina Fey special on December 10th.
Well, tell us about the Tina Fey special, because I am unaware.
No, we talked about this Tina Fey special, because then the next night is Who's Holiday. So December 10th is NBC, and she's doing the Salute to Broadway on primetime, and Mean Girls is a part of it.
This is the NBC show.
Yes.
But it's not a Tina. It's not a Tina Fey special. She's hosting it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, yes. I'm going to call it the Tina Fey special now.
Well, that's you. I don't. So there.
The Radio City Rockettes have a special afterwards.
Got it. Okay. Well, cool.
Like seeing a different Rockette. They incorporated all the other parades that weren't ever allowed to have a parade this year. So you had the Pride Parade was present and did a number.
I did see that.
Everybody was so excited. The Puerto Rican Day Parade, the West Indies Day Parade, St. Patty's Day Parade. And that, that's not even all of them, but that was really cool to include. And the other thing was they did a whole salute to Indigenous people and had different tribes there and explained it. I'm like, how have you never done this on Thanksgiving? Why did it wait till 2020 for Indigenous people to be part of the parade?
Well, and that is a wonderful thing that's happening in the current environment. I love that we're acknowledging land in most of our public things. I know that we're going to take this up at Ground Floor Theater. Start for Everything is acknowledging the land that we're performing on. So I think that's a great thing. Let's take a break and let's listen to Get Ready from Ain't Too Proud, and then we'll come right back. You can't not like that stuff.
No, they make me happy. Casey was in the kitchen and he was singing along to it too, and I'm like, just good music. With Dinah? No, someone's in the kitchen with Dinah, yeah.
Casey's in the kitchen with Dinah.
Casey's in the kitchen with Dinah.
Anyway, that was great. So you and I had a personal interview with Vanessa Williams. And it will be
personal, just us.
No. Well, this is Vanessa Williams is doing as part of the Texas Performing Arts. The what?
Is it Divas of Broadway, right?
Divas of Broadway, right. We talked to Laura Benanti, but we talked to her after it had already aired. But this time we're talking to Vanessa Williams prior to it. And it was a press conference of which both Nicole and I asked one question. So I'm going to play the questions that we asked. Before I get to the point where Nicole and I ask questions, please listen to this part where she talks about her involvement with Black Theater United.
One of the lucky things out of some tragedy has been able to be one of the founders of Black Theater United, which we mentioned my friends on Broadway, but Audra McDonald, Colin LaChance, Brian Soakes Mitchell, Norm Lewis, Darius DeHaas, we all basically galvanized on the heels of George Floyd, because that was really kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, and we needed to do something. So a group of us started Black Theater United, which also include, you know, Kenny Leon as a director, Karen Ford, who's a sound engineer, Lisa Dawn Cave, who's one of the preeminent stage managers on Broadway. And we are working towards diversity, not only on Broadway, but across the Lort theaters and across the country, and not only on stage and programming, but behind the stage, and not just ushers, but staffing and artistic directors, and we're making headway, which has been fascinating. And also, we've been able to highlight, you know, Fair Fight and Fair Count for census and for voter registration. So, out of our, I guess, being idle on Broadway and not being able to work, we've been able to really galvanize and make change. And that's been the most proud, I think, thing that has come out of this.
And then so as things open up again and we start to see theater returning, hopefully, fingers crossed, early next year, do you think we'll pretty quickly see the effects of this work that you've been doing?
We're seeing it now. We're seeing the effects now. Thankfully, I'm on a board of one of the major Lort theaters, and we have absolutely seen hiring that has been working, and you know, these actionable items have been listened to. Black Theater United has hosted summits, and we've talked about people not even being aware that there's been discrimination or retaliatory acts if someone is a whistleblower because they feel like they've been discriminated against. So there's a lot of levels and a lot of different issues, but we're in the thick of it, and we're here to stay. Thanks.
Hey, Vanessa. This is Lisa Sheps with Co-op Radio and Offstage on the Air in the great city of Austin, Texas. How are you?
There you go. How are you?
I have a quick question. We talk a lot about theater. First of all, before I get to that, I want to thank you for your work on Black Theaters United. There's so many changes going on with you. We see you, White American American Theater, and all the things that are going on. Changes are so needed, and I'm really happy that you're stepping up and talking and doing the work you do. So, on a whole nother note, you have done so many different things in your life. When this thing is all over and when we're ready to sit back in a theater with our friends and watch theater, are you looking towards directing something on Broadway, perhaps, or producing something on Broadway?
Ooh, well, when this is all over, I'll probably return back to London and we'll do City of Angels properly and get it opened and have a nice run. So that's what I'm immediately looking forward to. Directing, I would have to, I'd have to really shadow someone who I really, really admire. One of my good friends is James Lapine, who's one of my favorite people in the world. So if I were going to shadow anyone, I would call James and say, hey, teach me your tricks. Let me follow your lead. But at this point, I'm actually, I have more television and film production in the works than theater.
Well, we're anxious to see you back on Broadway.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Vanessa. Nicole Shiro. I'm with Co-op Radio. I co-host Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. You were speaking that you've been lucky to be able to work during this pandemic and do all these performances, and you just talked about it, reading. Has there been something that you've seen that's kind of exciting, that you see change in the way we're looking at work and producing work and performing our work? Has there been something unique in this element?
Well, since we all are distance, everything's been on our phone, and I've seen some tremendous videos that have been a compilation of lining up your phone, downloading it and sending it to get edited and make an amazing video. We just, as Black Theater United, which is the group that we founded, did a song that we are going to be releasing in the beginning of the year. And it's called Say Their Names. And we all recorded it remotely. And we had to make sure that it was mixed properly because all the stems sounded different because people are in different rooms and different microphones and stuff. But what I've seen out of videos that have come from people making a group video are tremendous. And I think Brandy did one, Questlove has done another one. And it's amazing what you can do being separate, but really doing something really artistically cohesive. So we're in the process of doing that, but it's amazing what you can do with your phone, your iPad, your laptop as a group.
There you go. But her performance is upcoming on December 5th. I look forward December to 5th. That.
You can get information at texasperformingarts.org. That's what I would just say.
We just talk about what hasn't the woman done. I mean, she's performed at the Super Bowl. She hasn't even just had Tony, Grammys, Billboard hits, top like Emmys, like she's performed at the Super Bowl.
She's pretty amazing. And she was Miss America.
And Miss America.
One thing that we didn't talk about, or she didn't really talk about, is the scandal that came up with her and that she lost her Miss America crown.
I think someone kind of alluded to it as something, but didn't like actually touch upon it. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's been beat with a dead horse at this point. And I would like to think.
I love how you use the dead horse to beat things instead of beating a dead horse.
Well, I mean, I don't, you know.
There you go. Well, listen.
Keeping you on your toes, Lisa. See.
I would love to talk about this all day long, but we have to take a break.
Rich folks love more than going down.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Hello.
Hello. This is the post Thanksgiving. We are in our we are in our tryptophan haze right now after eating all sorts of turkey. What did you have? Did you do a? I know we all did it smaller and virtually. Did you do a turkey and dressing kind of Thanksgiving?
We ordered Thanksgiving this year.
Oh.
But we did have turkey and dressing, and have to tell you, I had probably the best pecan pie I've ever had in my entire life. And I like pecan pie, but I've gone in for multiple pieces.
Where did this pecan pie come from?
We got it from the Fairmont, and I don't know if they made it there or got it from somewhere else, but it was a bourbon pecan pie with spiced caramel and a cinnamon chantilly cream on top.
Yummy. Sounds good. So I had the traditional smoked pulled pork and broccolini Thanksgiving.
You did make the pulled pork. You were thinking about it. That sounds good.
I did. It was delicious. I almost brought you a little a plate, but we ate it all.
Oh, we did make some turnips. We made a few things. We did make turnips because Texans just don't eat turnips as much, but I have to have them. They remind me of home and my family.
Yeah. I think there might be a good reason for not eating turnips.
I love them.
Anyway, did you watch the internet series Submissions Only? I know we've talked about it on the show with Kate Weatherhead.
I have seen some, but man, that's been a long time.
Right, and they had three seasons. It's done, but they just now, which I find this kind of odd. They've just now announced that it is being offered as Broadway as part of Broadway HD. The first two seasons are free, but you have to pay for the third season.
I thought I saw that on there, and I'm like, it can't be the same thing. It is that.
It is that. And I think that the reason for the third season thing is that their third season got picked up by either Broadway World or Playbill, who helped produce it.
Playbill, yeah.
So I'm sure there are some rights and royalties that are involved now. But still, I find it interesting that they're charging for it.
So, I mean, but do you pay separately or if you're part of the Broadway HD subscription?
Oh, that's a very good question. I didn't check that. Because then in that case, that's double Jeopardy.
It could be like a Hamilton Mulan thing on Disney, like Mulan on Disney Plus, where they made you still pay for it even though you had the streaming. Yeah,
maybe. Interesting. I find that interesting. And here's another little interesting tidbit, which I didn't realize. Do you remember a show called Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark?
I do.
That was 10 years ago, Nicole.
Yes, I know that. Isn't that crazy?
It's its 10-year anniversary of opening. That's amazing. There was an article I read. It was funny. It was just talking about the very beginnings of it and how before it ever opened, before it started to fall apart, which was almost immediately. But before
Spider-Man.
That, it had... It had a production team that was bar none. It was destined to be. It had Julie Taymor. It had Sting and The Edge. It had The Edge, not The Edge. Is it The Edge?
Yeah, it's The Edge.
It had.
It didn't have Sting. It had Bono.
Bono. That's why it didn't sound right to me. Sting and The Edge doesn't sound right. Bono and The Edge sounds right. It just had this amazing team behind it, and it still failed miserably. I mean, anyway.
Version one to version two are so completely different.
Very different.
You have a whole Greek course that tells the show, and now there's no Greek course that tells the show. Yeah. I mean,
I would have liked to have seen Spider-Man 1.0. You didn't see one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen that. I have a feeling I might have liked it better. It was a little grittier. It had more. It was Julie Taymor, and 2.0 wasn't.
But I really enjoyed Patrick's just so awesome, but there was a lot of things that I really enjoyed and took from it, and I still love Reeve Carney, and I loved that I got to, you know, that he found a life outside of Spider-Man in Hadestown.
Yep.
A successful life at that, you know.
True So another little bit of piece of news that I don't have any information on. I just saw that it was a tweet by one Lin-Manuel Miranda that Tick, Tick, Boom finished shooting. Now, I don't like Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah, you've tried, but you haven't. You've said this a lot.
We were gonna do it at Ground Floor Theater. Adam Roberts and I talked about it, so I mm-hmm. ordered a perusal copy and I listened to the music and I just, after reading it, both of us independently came back and said, I don't like it. So I'm looking forward to seeing this movie to hopefully change my mind, because this is, to refresh memory, this is Jonathan Larson who wrote it prior to Rent.
Yeah,
prior to Rent. Well, he would have had to have written it
he
prior to Rent.
During Rent, yes.
Sorry to laugh at that, but so it was prior to Rent, and it's never been. It's not gotten the recognition that some people think it deserves.
I don't think it's ever. I don't think he really considered it a finished piece anyway, which is part of it, and you can kind of tell. But I mean,
well, it's also autobiographical.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I mean, it is what it is, but it's not, it doesn't make me crazy like Rent made me crazy, but I don't dislike it.
Yeah, I was so excited about the idea of doing it, and then when I read it, it was like the wind, it was, I remember reading it and just the wind just like went right out of my sails, and I was sad because I really wanted to like it.
There's a few songs that I really enjoy from it.
Yeah, but. Yeah, there's some music that's good, but to mm-hmm. the piece as a whole didn't do anything for me. But they finished shooting. I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product. Speaking of shooting, did you see the prom trailer? The latest one?
It's been out for a bit.
No, this is a new longer one. Or I haven't seen it. It showed up on my feed of maybe a week ago. It was a second one. Anyway, I finally got around to watching it today. And if we have time, we're going to play the audio from it right now.
Hello, interweb. My name is Emma Nolan, and I'm 17. You might have heard about the prom in Indiana.
I just want to go to prom like any other kid.
All opposed.
I know we all have stories to tell, and here's mine.
Oh my gosh, check this out.
It's all over Twitter.
She wanted to take her girlfriend to the high school prom. And the PTA went ape shit and they canceled it.
We have got to go down there.
Yes.
And raise holy hell.
Yes, we will be the biggest thing to happen in Indiana since whatever's happened in Indiana.
We have come to this community
on behalf of a young girl.
I just wanna dance with you.
I'm sorry, who are you people?
We are from Broadway.
I just wanna dance with you.
We're not monsters. We're cultural disruptors.
Your beliefs
are not our beliefs. You don't know this town.
I thought that when my parents rejected me, that I would never feel any worse. I've never felt so alone in my life.
But you're not alone. And you do have friends.
Where are they?
Okay, people, this is the part where we roll up our sleeves and we put on a prom with our own bare hands.
I just don't understand it.
Well, I think it's brave.
Let's get this party started!
It's time to build a prom for everyone. Show them all. It can be done if music plays and no one cares who you're.
Gonna take a stand for all the people out there who love someone in a way the world just doesn't understand.
Okay, I admit that got to me.
It's time to dance.
And if we had time, you would have just heard it.
And if you didn't, you will find it online.
Correct.
If you were interested in looking for it and wondering what we're talking about.
Correct. But I know that it doesn't excite you, but it excites me. And I'm looking forward to seeing it.
It's not that the prom doesn't excite
me. No, I know. I know. I know exactly why you don't like it.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. So even with the things that you don't like about it, but I'm totally looking forward to it. So with that, let's switch gears and go local. And let's talk to the Hill Country Theater about Christmas on Main Street.
I know. This is exciting. It's in the holidays.
It's the holidays. Christmas on Main Street. And go. Nicole, thank you for joining me in the Costco parking lot.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, I moved. I was doing some shopping. The Zoom machine is hooked up to a trailer in my car. So I thought we'd take this opportunity after going and buying like a huge container of toilet paper to come and go into the Zoom machine.
Well, let's go.
Well, I have to tell you that the toilet paper won't fit through the door, so we're going to have to leave it behind.
Okay.
Here we
stash for the pocket show.
Okay, well, let's hop in and then open the hatch. Ah, we're in Buda, Texas. It's so deja vu-y. I feel like I was just here.
Well, you know, we might have been.
We might have been. We have the creatives and cast, or some of the cast, for Christmas on Main Street that's going to be done at Hill Country Theater out in Buda. And we have the director, Toby Miner. Hi, Toby.
Hello, hello.
We have Andrea Smith. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, friends.
We have Joseph Garlick. Welcome.
Hello.
And finally, Kayla Steinbrenner. Hello.
Hello.
Well, I just love, you know, I feel like I just say, like to say hello to you multiple times.
You can never say hello too often.
Toby, you are absolutely correct. Thank you. You are wise beyond your years.
I do.
You're welcome. So you guys are doing a Christmas on Main Street in the metropolis of Buda. It's not Buda, it's Buda.
That's right.
And
It's beautiful.
It is actually a friend of mine used to have a 5-star white tablecloth restaurant on the main street in Buda. It was wonderful. Not there anymore. So Toby, tell us about Christmas on Main Street.
Sure. So it is just what it sounds like. It's a Christmas cabaret. It's filled with lots of traditional Christmas songs. We've got a few that are got a little bit of a twist on the traditional song. And it's the basic gist of the story is taking straight from our lives as things are right now. It's a group of friends who haven't been able to see each other for months. and their local theater is in trouble of not being there anymore. And so they decide to come together and see what they can do to keep it around.
That's such a fantasy. That would never happen in real life.
I know. That's why we figured, you know what, let's sci-fi this a little bit. And
well, I love the conceit. I think it's great. So this is basically a musical performance. Is there a narrative? Do you have characters? Andrea is nodding, which does not work on radio.
Yes. Well, Andrea, in addition to being a wonderful cast member, is also the playwright on this one.
Oh, well, Andrea, tell us about the show.
Double role. You didn't say that earlier.
I didn't say that because, you know what? I didn't know. I'm learning as you are.
Yeah, so I wanted to put together something that would be the connective tissue between all of this beautiful music, but do it in a way that is less traditional cabaret-y and more character-driven with respect to the songs that they're singing and the group dynamic and all the kind of inside jokes that you have with your friends that really adds a little bit of heart to this production overall.
Well, that's good. So are you also performing in it?
I am, yes.
So tell us about your character.
Sure.
And then we're going to add, just so be ready, Joseph and Kayla, because you're next.
So my character is, her name is Tammy, and she is a little bit of a bookworm, actually a lot of a bookworm. And one of the things that she does throughout the play is that she throws out all sorts of fun Christmas facts. From Christmas celebrations all over the world. And for example, I'll give you one. In Iceland every year, on Christmas Eve, they exchange books on Christmas Eve. And they spend the entire evening of Christmas Eve reading books and eating chocolate. And it's called Jólablakaflod. It's called the book flood. And it's a really cool tradition that they have every year in Iceland.
I love that. I'll give you another fun fact that you could impart, that Pablo Picasso actually made the very first fruitcake.
What?
Please use that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I just made that up. You have a book about Picasso behind you.
I was just about to go, she's totally playing off your back.
I didn't realize.
Just to let you know.
Kayla, what do you play?
I play Nikki. She is a world traveler. She loves Texas. She loves to be here, but her home is really everywhere. And it's really hard for her now that she's stuck in one place due to quarantine because it's not safe. Having to overcome not being able to meet all these new people and do all these new things. And so she's a really flighty person who's being held back right now. And I mean, I relate to it quite a bit. So she's just going through it.
That's cool. What is her what is her favorite place outside of Texas?
Her favorite place is probably Paris.
Well,
just
of course.
Because, she, I mean, she just loves the romanticism of it and all the history.
Yeah. And Joseph, who do you play?
I'm playing Roger, whose defining characteristic is his obsession with Elvis Presley.
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. I don't mind Elvis, but I'm not like an Elvis fanatic. So I've been doing lots and lots of research on this and working very hard on getting the hip movements down, because you can bet I'm singing Blue Christmas in this one.
So you know there are two Elvises. So I need to know which one you were the fan of. Are you the fan of skinny Elvis or fat Elvis?
What's young Elvis or fat Elvis?
Young Elvis or fat Elvis, right.
Early Elvis, I'll go with.
E-squared, we like to call that.
Yeah, there you go. Early
Elvis. Great. So to the group, what are some of the songs you're singing? And what are some of the songs you're singing?
I'll start. I am singing Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, the Darlene Love hit. She sang it. One of Tammy's trivia pieces is that Darlene Love actually sang this on David Letterman for 28 years straight, the week leading up to Christmas. And it was part of the character's choice to do this because when she moved all over with her family, she didn't really have a lot of tradition, but regardless of where she was, David Letterman and Darlene Love were part of her tradition every year.
Hmm. Part of mine as well. What other songs?
I'm singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's just a moment of solemnness, and it's actually accompanied by Joseph on the guitar. So it's a really stripped down, nice acoustic song. And then I'm also singing in a quartet. We're doing a female, all female, The Night Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting jazzy number, and we've got these really tight harmonies, and it's going to be really great.
Wonderful. Toby, who else is in it?
So we also have Lexi Wood, who's playing Veronica. We have R. Michael Clink Scales, who's playing Sammy. And then we've got Amy Miner, who's playing Mary. And then we also, which doesn't ever happen in community theater as far as I know, we actually have an understudy as well. Lovely young lady named Haley Henry, who is, she's phenomenal. She's mainly understudying Mary, but she's covering everybody if need be.
She's a swing.
She's learning it all. She's doing great.
So is it live music or record? I mean, we know Joseph's playing the guitar, but what's the how many band members? What's the composition?
So we have a pianist accompanist that's going to be up there, Tyler. He's the bulk of it. And then we've got Joe on guitar. And then all the singers are kind of doing little things here and there. There's one number that the Night Before Christmas with the R. Michael and Joe are probably going to be doing a little bit of percussion work to help with that stuff. And there's just some fun dance choreography going on and all that kind of stuff.
Do you need me to come? I play a wicked zither.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
really. I did not know this. Why were you not at the audition? What?
That sounds like a lot of fun. So I know that people are going to want to know this. You know, we're not, many theaters are not open yet because of COVID-19, but those that are taking some, I'm taking a lot of precautions. I'm assuming that Hill Country Theater is doing that. Can you tell us a little bit about the COVID-19 mitigation stuff that you guys are putting in place?
Absolutely. So the cast themselves are in masks the entire time, even while they're singing. And we've made that a part of the show because, again, we didn't want to, we're commenting on what we're doing and what we're going through. And so that's just part of what we're doing. So we've been figuring out ways to make it work, and they're kicking butt doing it. They're sounding great and making it work. And then we're just making sure that they stay in their bubble. We're doing keeping the theater as clean as we possibly can. We've got an air purifier going in there pretty much nonstop. There's only going to be, I believe, around 30 people, and that's at the top end per night allowed in the place, and everybody's quite a ways apart from each other to keep social distancing going on.
I would add that all audience members are required to keep their masks on the entire time, and we're doing temperature checks for cast and audience members before they enter the theater.
Great. When does this happen?
So we go up the first weekend of December, and we run for 3 weeks. Those 3 weeks, we're Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have our Friday and Saturday shows at 7, and our Sunday show is at 2:30.
Okay, and where can folks go to get information about the show?
If they would like to get tickets, they can go to, or just to find out more information in general, they can go to hillcountrytheater.org.
Awesome. Now, there's some controversy here about where it's actually located. Is it in Buda or is it in Kyle?
It is in Buda. It's on Main Street, Buda. It's actually, the theater itself is the old Buda.
City Hall.
City Hall. Thank you.
Oh, I know exactly where it is then. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you guys so much for coming on Offstage and on the Air.
Yeah. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
And have a great and safe run of your show.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Okay. Adios.
Bye.
There it is. You got to love that Toby Miner.
I know. I didn't know he was a director too. So that was kind of exciting. That was like a new little piece of information I learned.
Nothing he doesn't do. And Buda is just a hop, skip, and a jump away. So for those of you that feel comfortable with sitting in the theater, It's very close.
You know, Andrea did Treasure Island. We did Treasure Island together.
No, it's the first time I think I've met her.
Didn't you come see Treasure Island in Scottish Rite?
Did not.
Oh, she was the one trying to take down my Long John Silver. We played enemies.
Arr.
Duel and fight with swords.
So we're just about out of time, but I did want to go and tell folks what's going on locally in a theater thing. And folks can find, I'm finding all of this on Now Playing Austin. And it's a great place to look. And so Rosita y Conchita is back again this year. It's
speaking of Scottish Rite.
It's online and it is available through December 4th. The next two is a little bit of log rolling. It's Ground Floor Theater. We are doing Curbside Cabaret with a great cast. It's a celebration of Black musical theater. And that happens online on December 11th. And then we have on December 19th, Alex Garza's one-man show, Abuelita's Christmas Carol. It's also going to be done live. Both of the ones at Ground Floor Theater are going to be live and live streamed. So you get a sort of a feeling of both things. Abuelita's Christmas Carol will be available after the live performance. Curbside Cabaret will only be available for 24 hours. So if you miss it live, you've got 24 hours to catch it. Then you can see it. You can get information through Now Playing Austin or at groundfloortheater.org. And this is something that I don't know exactly what this is, but it looked very interesting. It's called Virtual Viva. It's from a company called Agony International. It's an Indian wedding. It happens on the 19th of December at January on 19th of December at 7 p.m. What were you going to say?
I saw something about this and I can't figure it out, but have you been to an Indian wedding? Because they're phenomenal and go on for days. And well, this excited me.
So that's basically what this is. And it's dancing. And they say the dancing is going to be Bollywood style or Bollywood style, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And there's going to be musicians and fun. It sounds like a really lively thing. So I think it's a really fun thing.
And, that is cool.
Yeah, and again, you can get information at offstage
of Madeira. Playing Austin.
NowPlayingAustin.com. And that's it for today.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. We're done. If we have time, we will go out with Jagged Little Pill, You Learn. And if we don't have time, we're just going to end it right here.
Okay.
You're speechless. You were like, I don't know what to say to that.
Recommending your heart trampled on to anyone. Yeah. I recommend walking around naked in your